It's certainly a blessing to be here, to be with our Augusta Road family. And we're just so thankful for this congregation here that worship here on Augusta Road. And of course, we often make mention of you in our prayers. And of course, we're just so thankful that the God that we serve is an awesome God. God makes no mistakes. God is too just to do any wrong. And certainly he's too wise to make any mistakes. And we're just so thankful for the blessed privilege that we have this afternoon to come, to be a part, to take part in this service with you. And of course, it's our hope and our prayer that we'll certainly enjoy one another while we share this time together. And so I think this is the invitation part. Okay, be at the end. All right. So here's what we like to do. And of course, Brother Dustin had mentioned to me about Go. And so I figured that's enough for me to work with. And of course, I think it'd be a great idea if we can just launch from Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And we'll use this for our luncheon pad. And of course, a very familiar passage in that Jesus sent his disciple out on the unlimited commission. And their job was to go. And of course, now that we are part of the body of Christ, we must continue to carry out that mandate to go out into all the world and preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter number 28. And we'll commence our reading at verse number 16, and we'll terminate at verse number 20. Matthew chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. This afternoon, we would like to speak from the subject, caught between a go and a woe. I asked the Lord for strength, and he gave me difficulty to deal with. I asked the Lord for wisdom, and he gave me problems to solve. I asked the Lord for prosperity, and he gave me brains and bone to work with. I asked the Lord for courage, and he gave me danger to face. I asked the Lord for love, and he gave me troubled people to deal with. I asked the Lord for favor, and he gave me opportunity. I received nothing I wanted, but everything that I needed. And because of that, I'm convinced that God is good, and he's good all the time. caught between a goal and a wall, the Great Commission is still great. Someone asked the question, well, is it still great? Well, the Great Commission, of course, is still great. The church is under immense mandate from the Messianic Master to take the message of divine grace to a vast, immense, and a dying world. It's a perishing world. Jesus said, go into the world, into all the world that is sinking in the cesspool of sin, into a world that has turned its back on God and refused to retain God in its knowledge. Romans chapter 1 describes such a world. It says in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like unto corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, the Bible said, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use that is against nature. And likewise, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their own lust toward one another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving unto themselves that recompense of the error of that was meet. Paul yet says to the church at Romans, in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 14, I am a debtor, both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to them that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is very little difference in the world that Paul described and the world that we live in today. It's a world where perversity masquerades as diversity. We're in a world where men are marrying men, in a world where women are marrying women. It's a world where it's okay, it seems as though, to wear more underwear than clothes. We living in a dangerous time in our world. It's a world where it's okay for the network to feature program like the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. It's a world where it's wrong to kill a chicken, but it's all right to kill a child. We're sad. We're living in a world today where we have guided missiles and misguided men. We're living in a terrible time today. And sometimes I often wonder, God knows what's going on. He looked down from his lofty home in heaven, and he see. And we can just sometime, I said, well, ask the Father. He see what's wrong with our world. Ask God the Father, what's wrong in the world? And God will tell you, we have taller buildings, but we have smaller temples. We have wider freeways, but we have narrower viewpoint. We spend more, but we have less. We buy more, but we enjoy it less. That's what's going on. Ask God. He could tell us what's going on in our world. We got bigger houses, but smaller families. We got conveniences, but less time. Ask God. He knows what's going on. We have more degrees, but less common sense. We got more knowledge, but less smart. We have more experts, but as many as problem. We take more medicine, but we have less health. You spend recklessly, we laugh too little, we drive too fast, we get too angry too quick, stay up too late, and we tired, and we read too seldom, and we watch TV too much, and we pray too little. Ask God the Father, He'll tell us what's going on in our world. God see what's happening. You multiply your possession, but you reduce your value. You talk more and you listen little. You love seldom and you lie often. Ask God. He see what happens in our world. You add years to your life, but not life to your years. You become all the little while, the moon and the backside, and we miss God. We have technology where we can get to the moon, and we miss God coming and going. Ask God. He could tell us. But our commission, we have been given a mandate from God to take the gospel into the known world, to preach the gospel to every creature. To the Jew first, Paul said, and also to the Greek. Paul said, for therein is the righteousness of God. It's been revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. My dear brother and sisters in Christ, our dear neighbor and friend, I'd like to suggest to you this afternoon that in our surrendering to the gospel of Jesus Christ, God, when we submitted ourselves to baptism, God took us out of the world, but then He sent us back into the world so we can tell others they need to get out of the world. After we submitted ourselves to baptism, God didn't take us on to heaven. Sometime I ain't think it was a bad idea if He took me on. Because this life is a struggle at its best. But He took us out of the world. And now that we're no more a part of the world, we in the world, but we ought not to be of the world. The child of God have been given a mandate from God. And this mandate is that we must carry out this great commission. We must be willing to go. Are you ready to go, church? Go into all the world. I want to spend a little time with this idea of us going. Because sometimes I think there's a misperception of what it entails. We have those of us that will go all the way to another country and hadn't went across the street to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So often we forget that when we go, the word should be going. How many times have you met someone at a department store? And y'all made good conversation and you enjoyed one another's company. And then upon their departure, it dawned on you, I didn't mention Jesus to them. I wonder how we've grown to the point. Well, we are almost ashamed. Where have our fire gone? We are the children of God. There's no doubt about that. We are the children of God, not because how good we are, but because of the doctrine that we've obeyed, the righteousness of God. And as we think about the idea of going, I want to suggest to us this afternoon, if I can try to help us to recalibrate ourselves. I mean, whenever I go, the gospel should go. I'm reminded a few couple years ago, me and my wife had the pleasure of going to Jamaica. And of course, we just felt like we needed to get away for a while. And of course, every year we try to go somewhere we've never been before. And we went to Jamaica. And of course, I figure by the time we get over there, we'll find the Church of Christ. Yeah, we'll find the church when we get there. And of course, we was informed that there was a few churches over there. So I didn't think we would have no problem. Now, I usually lay that out before we leave. Because when I get where I'm going, I don't want to be confused about what we're going to worship at Sunday morning. Because the faithful children of God, when Sunday morning comes, you ain't got to worry about where they are. They trying to find the children of God. And so we went to Jamaica and we had trouble trying to find the Church of Christ. Nobody at the resort seemed to know anything about the Church of Christ. You know how it goes sometimes. You ever been somewhere, you ask them, is there a Church of Christ in the area? And some folk had never even heard of the church. Now that says to me, we ought to be going. Some people had never, the Church of Christ? Said, I never heard of that before. And I looked through the phone book and we contact some of the customer service representative to see if they can help us to find the Church of Christ. And one young man worked there at the resort. He said, I think I know where the Church of Christ is. He said, is the minister a Brother Lawson? I said, well, he get 1 point. He ain't reverend. So, and so I said, well, if he Brother Lawson, we own something now. And so, because really the reverend don't even know he ain't reverend. And so I said, well, that's fine, Brother Lawson. And they got on the phone and come to find out Brother Lawson actually lived in the church building. That's where his resident were, and he lived upstairs. And we got in touch with him, and he said, yeah, we'll be having worship service. And they worship at the Cave Church of Christ in Jamaica. And I thought it was a good idea. I said, well, I told my wife, I said, well, listen, honey, we don't have nothing to do. Now, I ain't no telling how much it's going to cost us. And I think the taxi cab driver, he might have charged about $100 just to get us to the church. And so I said, well, baby, we don't have nothing else to do. So to leave, we can go worship. And so Sunday morning came, the cab driver came in and picked us up in a little smaller than a Pinto. And he liked to beat us to death, taking us to the church house. We went through some neighborhoods, and he was ducking and dodging, and we were baiting there. We didn't know if we were going or coming. And we also got a chance to do some sightseeing. And I said to the cab driver upon us arriving, my wife said, baby, this don't look like the Church of Christ. I said, well, baby, I don't know. It looked like it. I see the sister getting the Lord's table ready. Oh, that's a good sign there. They getting the Lord's supper ready. And, of course, being in the country of Jamaica, they still do some of the things we used to do. When they set the Lord's table, they cover it up with a spread. And of course, I said, baby, I think we own something. Oh, they getting the Lord's table ready. And I said to the cab driver, I said, sir, listen. Now, since you got to bring us back, won't you just come on and worship with them? Come on and worship with them. Now, and when service over with, we'll get together. You can bring on back to the resort. And so he said, yeah, okay, I will. And the cab driver got up, and we gave him a Bible, and we got inside the building, and the preacher asked me, he said, are you Brother Scurry? I said, yes, sir, I am. He said, well, would you mind? I'm going to do the Bible class. Do you mind bringing the word today? And I said, well, sir, good googly goo. After all, that's what I do. And so I had the privilege of preaching in Jamaica. Now watch this, y'all. I want you to catch this now. Totally unattended. Had no idea whatsoever. We want to go and worship. And he asked me if I would preach. And the Lord blessed us. We stood to proclaim the word. And when I extended the invitation, the cab driver came down the aisle. Wasn't that a blessing? And I thought about this idea of going to preach. Now listen, it was not our original idea, but God had a plan. God had a plan. And it was the most wonderful experience that I ever had. I know God was in the plan. It was totally unplanned. The church didn't even know we were coming. And I tell you what, we had the time of our life. And so the cab driver took us a sinner, but he brought us home a saint. And I thought we rejoice and we rejoice and we rejoice. And one day the preacher called me. And he said that the cab driver came to worship today. And it just thrilled my heart. And I thought, Jesus says to go. Whenever we go, the word should go. If we go vacate, we don't vacate on God, do we, church? I sure hope we don't. I'm glad God don't do us like we do him. Sometimes we vacate, and I believe some of us just vacate on God. Well, I'm sure enough glad God don't get tired and say, listen, I'm tired of providing it with all this air. Aren't you glad? I'm so glad that he don't cut us off, because we wouldn't be here tonight. We, this great commission, when we consider going, we need to reconsider and think about the idea of that. When I go, the commission go. It's a mandate from God. And it's a mandate to all of us. And we must understand that we live in a world that have shaken the fist of rebellion in the face of God. It's a world where it's okay to abort a child than to have a child. It's sad. We living in some dangerous time now. We living in a world. Statistics say that there are 6.3 billion people in the world. And only a small percentage of them have even heard about the Lord's church, about Jesus Christ and his saving plan. And so therefore it's up to the church. We must go into all the world and we must preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to a dying world. The need of the gospel have never been greater. It is going to take the great commission to the great commandment and a great commitment from the children of God. We gotta be committed. That's where it's going to take from our part. We gotta be committed. We just finished with the Crusade for Christ. And this year, it happened to land in Charlotte, North Carolina. The churches of Christ throughout the regions came together. And we have a five-day event in the city of Charlotte. We knocked doors, and of course, the thing about having a crusade, we have to often emphasize to the church, you cannot function as a congregation. Because, see, sometimes that hindered the cause of Jesus. The church is one. The body is one. And we're members of that one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13, the Bible says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. There's only one body. And somehow or another, we've like the devil trick and fool us because we allow sometimes that a certain thing to separate us. And what it does, it hinders the cause of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm convinced. If we function and operate as we should, we can turn this city upside down. We can turn Greenville and our nation upside down. But sometimes we allow our own little ideologies to get in the way. Sometimes we allow our preferences to reign supreme over the commandment of God. And God says to go. Oh, I see another hindrance. What is it, Brother Scurry? Well, sometimes there's a tendency to pick and choose who you want to tell the truth to. Now, God didn't have nothing to do with that. He said, go into all the world and preach to every creature. But due to our own hang-ups, the cause of Christ is stifled. Because there are times when we want to pick and choose who to share the truth with. And people often talk about candidates for baptism. Well, who is it? We trying to seek and save the lost. That was the whole mission was about. To go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The need of the gospel have never been greater than it is today. And if we want to hear the Lord say, well done, we must obey the master mandate. If we want to receive the crown of life and have the right to the tree of life, we must do the master will. Revelation 22:14, the book said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and might enter in through the gates of the city. And if we want to stem the tide of sin and iniquity, we have to obey. We have to be obedient to the master's mandate. If we want to make the world a safer place for our children and our grandchildren, we're going to have to do the master will. And if we want to impact this horrible statistic, the family disinterrogated are going to, we're going to have to take the gospel to everybody. This great commission has the whole, as a whole, a place has a preeminence in all of our life. Do the Great Commission have preeminence? It has to be a priority in our life. The church and in the life of each member, we must not lose our zeal and our love for lost soul. How concerned are you? Do it bother you when you see a lot of religious folk who think they're saved, but they're lost? I mean, do your heart go out to them? I mean, how much do it bother you to have loved ones on the outside of the body of Christ? They wonderful people. Some of the most finest people you can ever meet. But the only problem, they haven't been covered by the blood of Jesus, because they have not responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, and where, Paul? In the gospel, the righteousness of God have been revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So first of all, I want to suggest to us, second of all, that you, the greatness of the Great Commission is seen in the preeminence and its priority. You see, the Apostle Paul understood the preeminence and the priority of the Great Commission. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in the verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For a necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Paul was caught between a go and a woe. And I kind of feel like that's where we are sometimes. Sometimes we're caught between this go and the woe. There was no option for Paul or elective here on his part. But it was an election on God's part. God elected him. Galatians chapter 1 and the verse number 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He's saying that I've been created, and I've been called to carry this commission. I've been captured and constrained to carry out this commission. I was separated and I've been sanctified. I was preordained and predestined to pursue this mission. This mission is my calling. This mission is my purpose in life. And no wonder he said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That which is your purpose must be your priority. That which is your purpose, it must be priority. And now that we are Christian, called of God, to make known unto the world the manifold wisdom of God, to call men out of darkness into the marvelous light. Our purpose must be priority. Every gospel preacher has to have the same concept as Paul concerning the preeminence and the priority of preaching the gospel and carrying out this great commission. He has been called. He has been captured. He has been charged with preaching the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verses number 1. Paul said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead as he appeared and in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when even church members won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They will turn away their ears from the truth, and they will be turned unto fable. We must preach this gospel, and it must be preached to the known world. And it got to be a priority of ours. So, church, I'd like to encourage us this afternoon that let us make the gospel in carrying out this great commission a priority of ours. It should be our number one priority. Sometimes we want to go to foreign land to preach the gospel. I've seen brother get on airplane and go to a different country and have went across the street. Neighbor and never heard the gospel. And I support foreign mission. We support churches in India and Jamaica and a lot of other parts. But we need to get the gospel out where we live. And as children of God, I'm trying to light up the corner where I live. Now, if somehow I can light the corner up where I live, and if you can light the corner where you live, we can light up the whole world when we're carrying out the commission. It's a commission that we've been given by God. And it's a commission that we got to carry out to preach the gospel. Go! And sometimes, to us, it feels like a war. You ever try to share the gospel with somebody and they hurt your feelings? One of the things I had to share with the group as we went out and door knocking Charlotte. You can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. We had about 7 tour buses full of members of the Church of Christ. They dropped us off in different neighborhoods we've never seen before. And our job was to go and knock doors. We didn't pick and choose neighborhood. We didn't pick and choose doors. We went and knocked. And it's a cold world today. People's a mistreat you. Sometimes folk called me everything except the child of God. But I had to go to the next door. Can't wear your feelings on your sleeve. Think about what the Lord went through. I mean, when you consider what he suffered, we don't suffer nothing. So what? I've been cussed before, and we'll be again. Some folk don't want to hear the truth. And church, let me zoom in on this idea of when we have meetings. We even confuse about what the success of a meeting is. You see, we try to evaluate the success of a meeting about how many baptisms we had. Well, no, friend, you missed the whole point. The success of the meeting is that the gospel went forward. And church, we're going to have to learn to rejoice in that. We're going to have to learn how to rejoice in the idea that somebody heard the gospel that have never heard it before. And the only thing that makes us different from them, we've been saved by the gospel of Jesus. What shall we say then? Paul said to the church at Rome, chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should arise and walk in a brand new life. But if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be raised in the likeness of his resurrection. We must go into the world. We must tell our co-workers. I don't know if there any sadder thing. Sometimes we meet people and we share the gospel with them. And then they inform us that we know, one of my co-workers are members of the Church of Christ. He ain't never said nothing about the church. Now, I know we have to be careful because some of the job, you got to be careful. You can't talk much about the Bible. But we got to learn how to be strategic and sharing the truth with people. Now, we can talk about the ball game all day. Folk argue and fuss about the ball game. But what about Jesus? Jesus is the reason. Jesus is everything. If you meet me and forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet the Christ and forget him, you lost it all. Because he's the Savior of the world. Jesus said on one occasion, I come not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. Watch Jesus. Jesus went into the world and he went by himself. We can go door knock. At least I can take a brother with me when I can catch one. He was all by himself. He came into the world and he died for the entire world. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is still God's power to save. We got to tell dying men and women that the way of the cross leads home. We got to let them know that without the shedded blood of Jesus, there is no remission of sin. We got to tell dying men and women everywhere that we got to go. And we got to go and preach this gospel. And let them know that the Lord have a church. Since everybody else have one, the Lord have a church. And all the saved are in the church. Acts chapter 2 and the verses number 47, the Bible said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord add the saved to the church. Every time God save a person, he add him to the church. Every time he save them, he add them to the one body of Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Somebody said, yeah, but wait a minute, young man. We all God's children. But I heard that before. Galatians chapter 3, Paul addressed that matter. Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, the Bible said, for we are all the children of God by faith. For many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are children of God by faith in Christ. For many of you as have been baptized into have put him on. And we want to encourage you. This gospel that we've been commissioned, it's mandated by God. This gospel must become a priority of the children of God. And this gospel is God's only power to save. August the 9th, 2017, the only power God have to save is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man is not wise enough to come up with any other idea because Jesus died that he could purchase the church. The church of Christ, we are a member of, and that we ought to be proud of. May the God of heaven bless you. May the God of heaven keep you. And of course, we want you, if you're not a member, we want you to be mindful of the things that we've shared. And of course, if you have any question in regards to the lesson, please don't hesitate to ask. This is what we do. We don't get offended by people asking a Bible question. You ask us a Bible question, we'll give you a Bible answer. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.